I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Way's other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com with promo code Andy.
The sty on my eye might be big, but my temper is bigger.
I just rejoined Twitter, and now I think John might be okay.
Wait, you just rejoined Twitter or Tinder?
Did I say Twitter?
Yeah.
I meant Tinder.
No, we're going to keep it. No, we don't edit. We will not edit this podcast.
Guys,
it's episode Andy 7.
Girls. It's episode 7. I have to tell you, we've never, ever stopped a recording when it started. And for a second,
Sarah's eyes second. Looked at me and thought, we need to start over because I messed my joke up and I said no.
So we're keeping it. So I guess that does mean it's a sign from God that John is in fact the devil. There we go. Should we cheers, guys? Just to let you know, Damien's pre-tried it. I'm about to take my virgin sip second time of Ramona Pinot Grigio. We just uncorked it, so if it's a fucking nightmare, it's her fault.
Cheers.
Cheers. God, why is it so bad?
I think it's getting better. Like, I think
no,
that
this is terrible.
No, I agree, but
it
the ice in
like
it.
It tastes, and I'm a Prosecco person. I like everything sparkling. It tastes like someone fucked
but this
up.
But this is Pinot.
I know, so there's an issue.
Okay.
So, episode 7, so exciting. 7 times a charm.
7 times a charm. And we also have some exciting.
We have some super exciting news. I'm not on a muscle relaxer, so tonight I can get down. So that's part A. Part B is we have, guys, some of you have been writing to us, getting in touch with us about the need to have guests on our show, mostly because you bitches have been asking and nominating yourselves. So getting on that path, we have our very first guest to Andy's girls, aside from you, since we were recording this in my luxurious Upper East Side.
Yeah, so technically I'm also
apartment.
A guest. So, a Chateau okay. Galley.
Rent to buy.
Gazebo Galley. we want to welcome Seth Plattner. Hi, Seth.
Hi.
Yay!
Seth officially is an editor at Elle Magazine, and unofficially, but also officially, is my roommate.
Lucky you!
Hey, guys, this is my first time being on a podcast ever. My
and
very
such
first.
A fancy one it's that. In our recording
this
studio.
This is luxury.
I mean, luxury.
I've always wondered, what were the mechanics of a podcast?
Yeah,
like,
this
how,
is it.
Like,
learn from us.
Yeah, now I get it. I get what goes into
we
it.
We are the trailblazers.
You'll like reality TV, they say you forget the cameras are on you. You will forget that you are recording in a
which
certain
which is why
point.
We're rated explicit.
I should, as a disclaimer, yes, yes. Or, tell you know, me I mean, Seth, I hope you don't mind I'm going to say this, but I feel like for Sarah's knowledge,
who
also...
did you date? Did you also date Luann? Because I think you're her type.
It's more likely that he dated Ray. Yeah. But Seth was on a reality TV show. So what? He has some some insight into the process of
listeners,
being on one.
I didn't know which reality show. Wait, should I guess it? Can you give us clues? Oh my God, let it be fun.
Okay, yeah, sure. Should I say the network first? Okay, it was MTV.
Real World? Oh. Road Rules?
It was a...
I'm out of shows.
It was a spinoff of a spinoff.
Oh, you were 100% on The Hills.
Spinoff of the spinoff.
The Hills was a spinoff of Laguna Beach.
What was the spinoff of
The Hills? Oh my, The City?
I was on The City.
Look, that's how many people watched.
That's why we got canceled.
Wait a second, because was she working at Elle?
Whitney Port? No.
Her fashion line.
Olivia Palermo was working at Elle. And so was our.
Does she still work at Elle? I'm so sorry. She's wonderful.
Absolutely not.
This is on record.
I know.
I love you.
Since Damien won't let me post the rest.
Olivia worked at Elle alongside our PR director, who
what
I worked very
at
closely
Elle
with.
What does working at Elle mean? So she went to the dinner.
She was. She was an accessories editor.
Okay.
So
isn't that what Kelly Bensimone also did for Elle?
No, Kelly Bensimone was like the editor above.
She was the editor.
She was
the editor of, I think, Elle
Accessories,
which was
shockingly was not a financial success, but I'm sure it was a creative one.
Folded quite quickly.
Quite quickly.
Yeah, I was on that show because I was the assistant to our editor-in-chief at Elle.
Who
at
was
the
editor-in-chief? I'm not going to know any of these people's names.
Robbie Meyer. She still is. I was her assistant. And I worked very closely with our PR director, who was a main cast member, so they brought me in as kind of like a smarmy sidekick.
Oh my God,
He was a true gay villain.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Were you?
Oh yeah, there was a lot of like peering over my shoulder and like giving like eye and like listening so I could report back.
You could be
back
on Real Housewives of Atlanta in 2 seconds. You yeah. just listed all
very
of the qualifications.
Skilled. Very
oh my
skilled.
Gosh, well, so thrilled to have you.
Thank you. Do we feel good about where the mic is as we're kind of settling in?
Yeah, since Damien won't let me press stop, I'm just going to assume that everybody can hear us. I guess we'll find out in like 54 and a half minutes. So first off, before we dive into what was genuinely one of the best episodes
I
of
watched
any
it.
Real Housewife
it
franchise
was
of all time.
Yes.
I've only watched it 2.5 times.
Damien buried his head in his shirt.
It was
almost the
like
entire
I
time.
I couldn't get enough. We're about to watch it on our favorite tradition of watching it on mute. I really couldn't get enough of it. I thought it was giving me everything I needed. I loved that Dorinda and John, you know, in a different franchise that would have been the entire episode would have been talking about what happened in the last 10 minutes. And this time it just genuinely was the last 10 minutes of what was, there was so much to talk about. How Luann makes love, and that's putting it nicely, who she's doing that with. Adam making his weird radish.
Watermelon.
Watermelon rats.
Which is like too much. I mean, everything was Sonia and Bethany alone. Then the weird stuff with Ramona and Sonia. Ramona and Luann. I mean, like, I was getting it. I was getting hit from all corners. Yep. And
did Ramona and Sonia interact?
Jules and her Uber nanny. Like, I just...
Oh my God, I forgot that. I actually think that we're okay to not talk about that.
Agreed.
No, I need to spend 2 seconds.
Unless we're going to talk about Michael speaking Spanish, which I was very... into
right?
when
aren't
it happened.
Like
I was like,
super,
oh,
aren't
okay.
you attracted to him?
Just after the Spanish speaking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was before.
I'm on the no front.
There was just, it was giving me so much. But, so Ramona PG.
Actually, the way the ice melted, I think I like it more now.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, that's a good sign for a great wine. It was $15, guys. That was expensive.
Just freeze it as it goes on your throat. Yeah. It's not getting better, but I'm going to drink it anyway.
It's not as bad as it was when we tried it after it had been open for 4 days.
And we had, we were drinking it with other things, too.
Yeah, we were drinking it with Skinny Girl.
It tastes like airplane wine. It tastes like wine you get on an airplane.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
you know here it reminds me of? No shade to Kendall Jackson, but it reminds me of, a Kendall Jackson.
Shard.
Yeah. Which is why I'm so confused why it's a Pinot,
because
it doesn't...
that's her thing! Vintage 2014.
It's just so confusing. Like, it doesn't taste like Pinot to me. It tastes like a Chardonnay.
It tastes like it could be a wine at some point. I don't know what kind. Wait, guys, before we do a deep dive into this week's episode and just, me loving everything, I just have to say some breaking news. I don't know if you heard about this, but I texted Damien when he was en route. there was I'm actually going to tell you some breaking news, and listeners, you're going to hear this maybe first, unless you visit bravotv.com every 5 minutes like me. Adam of Carol and Adam was in a plane crash last night. He was flying with his father, who was the pilot.
Seth's not sure what kind of reaction to have right now.
I know. He's alive. He's alive. Okay, he's in moderate. He suffered
minor injuries.
Minor injuries, was released, I guess, last night. His dad had serious injuries, but is talking. And they were in his father's plane. Like, oof. Why don't I know that his father has a plane? But it was like a smaller plane. So it was like, you know, like a 97.
I'm sorry, where did the crash happen?
Iowa?
He seems like he could be a farm boy. That hair, someone played a role in that. It's not that I hate him. I just don't like him with Carol. But now they're going to be destined to be together forever, because of all of the housewives to have a boy toy survive death. I mean, Carol with John John. God forbid I use that
fingers
nickname.
Are already working on that.
Carolyn Bessette. I mean, oh yeah, she's gonna be like, "Fuck it, to the cookbook." I need to talk about
that. That is in poor taste.
20 minutes, you almost died. I just thought, well, now they're gonna be together forever because she's gonna be, you know, binded to him. Right. I mean, it's a thing. But thank God, Adam, if you're listening.
We're happy you're okay. We're glad you're okay.
Best wishes to your father.
We really can't spend any more time on Adam. Yeah, and
That's all the time allotted. Agreed. So, I mean, where do you want to begin with this week? There was just so much. I feel like, you know where I want to start talking.
Go ahead.
If we can just cut right to the chase. I mean, first off, just want to ask you a quick question.
Oh, sure.
First time guest. New best friend. Who's your favorite? What are your thoughts on this season? Who's your favorite housewife?
So far?
Who's your favorite housewife this season? Who do you think is killing it?
I think because it's really tough because everyone's been really up and down, like some of my favorites.
Yeah, in a good way. In like a TV-friendly way.
In like a good way, but also like I'm usually firmly on Ramona's side, but she's driving me bonkers this season, so...
She went back to Ramina. She needs another new beginning.
Yeah, I can't. I think who I'm enjoying watching the most is Luann.
Bad. Oh, okay.
Because I've been very invested in Luann's transition from Countess to just broad. Like, she's just a broad.
She really is.
Who just
a broad
always
now.
Always sounds
she
like she's smoking
squirts.
Cigarettes.
I mean, there are things that, like, I that talk about with my lady doctor
her, like,
that I know about Luann.
So this week, the look she debuted with, like, the curly hair and that fringe top, I was like, you're giving me straight Long Island, and I'm so into it, you know?
And she's like an American Indian from Connecticut.
I just am so confused. But I mean, really, I just enjoy watching her because she's not letting up. At all. Like,
no, I think that when she invests, and...
There's that preview of next week it. When she's standing in Sonia's kitchen, and she's like, Sonia, we're on page six. And I'm just like, oh,
I
love...
Know.
You seem like you're hungover the time.
Oh, I know, she's wearing a fur poly, because Sonia's not paying for heat, you guys.
That's also very cool. The Lydias are not paying for heat.
Oh, she's God. Just not doing it. She's a successful businesswoman, okay? She doesn't need the heat. She's hot enough as it is.
So when you said you wanted to get to it, you want to talk... You want to just get
obviously.
To Ramona
let's,
and Bethany. I mean, Bethany and Sonia.
46 minutes. Talking about that 7-minute scene. I mean, listen, there's a lot that can be said, but I... just think that she really bit off more than she could chew with her seventh, and obviously I mean Sonia, with her seventh successful business to be. I mean, she's got the Nigerian football team. She has the apparel line. She has the swimsuit line. She has
toaster.
Fine jewelry. She has the toaster ovens. She has, she's doing a perfume. She has Capper Labs.
Wasn't she a movie producer?
She was a movie producer, which she keeps talking about
that's
in her defense.
That's what caused the bankruptcy.
That's the thing. In her defense, in literally what she says, in my defense, I'm coming out of a chapter 11. And I'm like, bitch, you caused it because you were a successful movie producer, but you weren't. You got in trouble because you bit off more than you could chew. And now it's hitting her in the face because she thinks that she can play her way into some sort of quick money scheme, which is why she hasn't made any money. Because what she comes up with are these very temporary solutions to the long-term problem, which is like she needs to get a job, but the only job she was successful at was marrying well. And he's gone now. So she's not going to find Mr. 1 to 2.5 millionaire, which is probably what's realistic for her at this point, with the antics that she's doing with this bullshit, because nobody's going to respect her, and she's too young. I mean, she's too old at this point for someone to do anything but.
Yeah.
You know, she's not a spring chicken anymore. She's not a hostess at a restaurant, which is how she met her first husband.
I feel so sad.
Don't feel sad. It's too late. No, guys, it's too late. We knew this
was going to happen.
And then it's like she's as dumb as a fox, because she says these things where, you know, she just wants to do well for her daughter, to pay for her daughter's school, even though everyone knows her ex-husband is paying for her daughter's boarding school. She's coming out of the Chapter 11, except she caused her own Chapter 11.
Well, sure, but that's sort of like, you can't do anything.
The whole thing
with
Peter, yeah. I do think that he saw an opportunity to make money off of her, and in that respect, I do think that she was used a little bit. But I think that a lot of Ramina's side comments dismissing Sonia are at least a small part, because she's pissed about the fact that Sonia is now going into business with this guy that she was at least flirting with. At most, maybe something happened. They were sort of in business, but I guess it was a lie.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Do you think that part of it is that she feels like he's a hack as a businessman, and so she's like...
Who? That Ramona
feels? Ramona feels like Peter is...
What actually happened with their business
with the restaurant?
It never happened. So according to Bethany, he was never an owner in AOA and was promising Ramona like shares in something that didn't happen. I think that they thought that they were going to work together on something, and it was just mishandled, because I don't think Peter is a successful restaurateur, and I don't think Ramona knows how to build a restaurant. I mean, nor really should she. No. I think he was trying to use her for her name, and then realized that without a real business plan, nothing would happen. And I think it just like...
But I feel like he's trying to do the same thing with Sonia, which is like, I'll make this happen. You be the face of it. And she's gullible enough to be just like, sure.
Right. And the issue with that is, I don't think people would have had as much of an issue, even though it's sort of duplicitous to her friendship with Ramona, except that she's trying to ride off of a name that is eerily similar to Bethany's. Now, allegedly, you know, Sonia's business partner, Pierre, who the fuck is Pierre? Pierre and, what's his face?
Peter.
Who we have seen before in previous episodes, filed for the trademark for Tipsy Girl. Now, allegedly, that didn't happen until her birthday party. So, them filing a trademark, it wasn't like years ago, and then they stumbled into Sonia. They did it recently.
Which
means that they knew that they needed to get a housewife so that the theme would work. And, you know, they're playing this into this restaurant that has like 800 likes on Facebook. I mean, I think I'm one of them. And that label that was not good. And then Sonia saying, you know, oh, it wasn't like a business opportunity. It was just a birthday. And then her doing this whole bullshit of, you know, Bethany did an RSVP, but I think she's going to come, which is obviously something that was recorded well after the party itself, when she was trying to build herself a little bit of some sort of support into this. And, you know, just that meeting in Bethany's apartment office thing, which I find weird. It wasn't an even battle, but Sonia shouldn't have tried to go to war. I mean, she sort of alluded to this in saying that, you know, she was doing it because she looks up to Bethany, and if she can have even one small piece. And again, I just think she's too lazy to put in real work, and thought that she would be able to make it happen or apologize enough to Bethany in order to get Bethany's like implicit approval in what is a really terrible business scheme, because it is a cheater brand. And if you're going to be a cheater, it's quick money, but at what cost? Because Bethany has real money. She has Jim Beam money behind her. I wouldn't want to mess with that. Now, there were some things that Bethany said that I didn't agree with. For example, saying, you know, that her brand summit was off limits and she didn't have press there. Okay, she didn't have like a New York Times reporter there, but she had a camera crew there.
She had a camera for this fucking show.
So that's not, to me, that's not really an argument that I think you can make. But I do think that Sonia's brand is a cheater brand. I don't think that I would have more respect for her if she had made better decisions at any point. At any point, but she's trying to say that she is something that she's not. Now, I love Sonia. When Sonia first joined in the third season of Real Housewives of New York, I was into her. She was playful. She was funny. She was super self-deprecating. And then as the seasons have gone on and on, she just is like drinking the poison, thinking that she's something that she's not. She's coming up with these schemes to stay on the show, and I just am now getting concerned that I've been talking and you haven't.
No. I'm just listening.
Get shot down.
No. No.
Is this Bethany's office apartment? Are you thinking this is gonna happen?
I've heard you like Bethany, so.
I agree with everything you said.
She's too old for us to be like, we feel bad, and that's it.
But I do feel bad.
I do. I have compassion for her.
I have compassion for her in that she's no longer married. Honestly, what she wants is her old life back, but sweetie, it's not going to happen. So open up a bottle of something. It's probably not going to be your own Prosecco, because I don't know if that's ever going to see the light of day.
I feel like it is going to see the light of day, and I feel like it's going to be successful because it's like, any celebrity can slap their name on a perfume, and they make billions of dollars.
She's not a celebrity. She's a real housewife. And Vicky's Vodka ended up being a huge disaster.
Did it?
She's still in court about that because she decided to go into business with Brooks Ayers as her business partner. So that's going to continue on and on. I mean, like, there are housewives that have slapped their names on things, and there are only a few who have made money from it, genuinely.
Ramona makes money, though, from...
Ramona makes a decent money. I'm sure that skyrockets when her season airs. And it was also very well done. It made sense, more than her Truth Face jewelry, more than the hair extensions she's now selling.
So she only has Pinot Grigio and what else?
That's it.
I thought she had another wine, like a red.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, I think she has a red.
I'll look into it, guys.
I just think Sonia, like, as I said, she saw it as a quick money-making thing because licensing is just so easy because she was probably presented by these men who were like, honey, just slap your face on this and endorse it for us, and you're going to make all this money. Yeah, and we're going to call it Tipsy Girl, and she was like, I don't care because I just
Or she thought it was sweet and she genuinely thought like, oh, it's like kind of themey with like the other girl who's a housewife. And I just think that she didn't realize that Bethany would truly be upset. And the fact that she didn't tell Bethany, and then she was trying to say, like, oh, it's just a birthday party, they were just tasting it, when it's really you're announcing this new business, I think that was a huge missed opportunity that she should have sat her down so that even if Bethany was like, go fuck yourself, at least she would have known and she wouldn't have felt like she was being ganged up on.
Can I just, you know...
Yeah, do sure. it.
I just...
I'm probably gonna, like... I'm gonna feel this.
No.
So.
I just, like, I hear everything that Bethany said to Sonia, but also, like, but I also felt utter compassion because I think that what makes Sonia great television is also probably her biggest fault in living a real functional life. She's delusional. And I
get that. I appreciate that.
But I think that, like...
But when she tries to defend the delusions, that's when other people who are not delusional say, you look pathetic.
But she does, she's not aware enough.
I don't think she understands. I think that was very real in that, you know, in that episode, this week's episode, when she was reacting and she said, you know,
I just want to get back to where I was.
She's really.
Right, but the thing was, she wasn't a businesswoman. That's her mistake.
She wants her financial life to be what it was.
And that was provided to her by a Morgan. I mean, I don't know. Maybe
she's never going to get back to that point.
She's never
going to
get back to that point.
She'll never get there.
So then what can she do from here? I think she goes back to the toaster ovens. I think once this...
You really want her to sell a toaster oven.
I really need a toaster oven, and I refuse to buy
it. What is she going to do? Because as far as I know, I mean, from what I know now...
She has this show.
But she is... She's being sued by Bethany currently. Is that what we know? There's a lawsuit?
No, Bethany... So the trademark for Tipsy Girl was suspended because Bethany filed a...
Okay.
A separate trademark for Tipsy Girl. Now, that trademark that Bethany filed was rejected, but as such, I don't think they yet own the trademark for Tipsy Girl. I mean, it's
so the Prosecco has stalled at this point.
You emailed for a sample, didn't you?
Right. So it's stalled, but they're still selling it. I think the whole, you can still sell something even if you don't own a trademark. What you're saying is we own the right to only have this name. Mm-hmm. So they can still sell it. I mean, allegedly it's on that boat from Italy. So we're due a couple bottles.
Hell yes, we are.
Here's my other question.
Yeah.
So, like, I believed that scene with Sonia, that she was really sad, and I believe that she is doesn't get it.
It affected me.
I understand you. I appreciate you, and I agree with that statement.
Do you think that Bethany was really mad? Because, like, in no way is, like, Sonia a threat to Bethany's business.
And Bethany makes it clear that she understands, because she explicitly said to Sonia, like, you're not a threat.
You're nothing to me.
Right. But she was personally hurt that this person who she defended last season, which she did when they were in St. Bart's or wherever, mm-hmm. no, it wasn't St. Bart's, it's wherever they were, that this person that she defended really tried to F with her. And Sonia's lack of understanding doesn't negate the fact that Bethany was like, you are trying to make a run at me or use my company in some sort of subversive fashion to make some money, and I don't appreciate it. And what she's saying is, as a friend, I don't appreciate it. It's annoying from a business perspective, I'm sure, because like her business partners, I'm sure, are a little upset about it, but yeah. She's more pissed that someone did that and didn't tell her. I think that's the greater issue. If Sonia had sat her down
sure.
as a mentor or whatever, a friend, and said, this is what I'm trying to do, it would have been easier for Sonia, I think, at the end, you know, she wouldn't have felt so ganged up on, and I don't think Bethany would have been as harsh, but imagine being Bethany and finding out from other people, but including I also think, most substantially press outlets, that this is happening. That's not great.
Bethany is also smart enough to understand Sonia's issues, like her yeah. issues where she is not aware. She's got these blinders onto the world where she, like, doesn't understand.
Which is probably why she invited her over to
begin with. She knows the delusion. So right. It makes me wonder if, like, in any other context than a reality show, would Bethany have been like, hey, Sonia, let me tell you why this wasn't okay. Because Sonia clearly doesn't get it.
I think she would have, instead, she brings
her to this office, like, verbally berates her, not in, like, a private office, which I thought was so tacky, but in front of her, like, 25-year-old assistants, like, on a fucking couch.
Yeah.
So they're all watching. I mean, any other legit business person would have been like, let's go into my office.
Well, she's also filming a reality show.
Sure, I get that. So that's why you're just like,
but she's real. She's the truth.
She's the real truth. Why isn't she doing it? And she is such a legit businesswoman.
I mean, listen, it's a little bit of fighting with fire with fire. And guys, we're watching the scene on mute.
It's actually horrifying to watch because you know what's coming.
I actually didn't occur to me that this, like, I didn't even think about the fact that, like, she does all of that in the, yeah, in, like, the communal area. Yeah,
they're clacking away or the computer's watching.
And she said
that
there's, like, a bedroom in the back, which wouldn't have been appropriate for
that. But what I wanted to know is, does Bethany have her own private office, or does she, like, just hang out in the fray?
She has her new million-dollar apartment, and then in her original million-dollar apartment, she had built office space
right,
inside.
I remember that.
And then I think a part of her, like, sort of quasi-downsizing to her new single girl, again, apartment was removing the idea of having an office so that she would have a little bit of a boundary between personal and professional. And this is, you know, I probably better for everyone. And so she has a bedroom in there filled with God knows what, and then some sort of conference room in there. She says at one
but she
point,
has her, she doesn't
which
have her
would
own
have
office.
Been right, which would have been
go to
more
the conference room. You
right,
get cameras
no,
in there.
I agree with you. Except that this is better TV. So like,
sure, and I'm sure. I mean, I wonder if Bethany even like thought
why is the
so
Chanel
that.
Right there? I mean, exactly, you know, like there are some reasons.
You know, some producer was like, "Can you, you know, just
right,
thank you, frame
and
that,
right, frame. And it's like better caller or whatever." I mean, it's not. It's like Sonia. It's.
You know what you know, like the line that sort of like epitomizes this entire thing is Sonia's exit when she was like, "Because the way I make pocketbooks, can I not make pocketbooks?" And it's like, "No, Sonia, you can't. No, God, what are you not? You just you're done listening the entire time."
No, she's not.
She's probably
the
thinking, "Well, I can't make Tipsy Girl anymore, so now she's gonna make pocketbooks." It's like,
but
no,
also,
you're not learning.
Just total sidebar. If she had come up with something that was like, I don't know. I don't know. I can't think of anything. But if she had just come up with something that was, like, more about Sonia and less about paying homage to Skinny Girl, wouldn't that have been so much cuter? I mean,
but what is more about
disgusting.
Sonia than alcohol?
I don't know. Some kind of, like, I don't know.
Do you know what alcohol is?
In my head, like, chapter 11 Chardonnay.
Alcohol,
like,
is a good thing for these women to make and create. And maybe why they like it is because they can't sell physical objects because those physical objects represent that human. Like, no one wants to carry on a bag that is made by fucking, like, Gretchen. Because then you're like, that's
oh
a Gretchen
God.
Bag.
Gretchen Christine.
Booze you put down in your belly and it goes away. And yeah. No one ever has to know that you ever
drank
it.
Well, and
it's
also cheaper. So you can buy, yeah. It's easier for me to buy a cheap, disgusting bottle of Ramona Pinot Gris than a slightly more expensive Gretchen Christine bag. Or Gretchen Christine Beauté.
Retail, $30.
Beauté. Which she was selling eyeshadow.
I would love to, like, go through all of the business ventures of all of the Housewives. Because I feel like there are just so many that I probably don't even know
yes.
exist.
We need to contact BuzzFeed and have them do research on our behalf.
Because, like,
read that link out loud, y'all.
I mean, Carol's a writer.
Right. And by the way,
that cookbook.
not even that cookbook, but what the fuck happened with her editor, who I loved, that woman that was, like, super sassy, super cold.
I don't know. I saw right through that. She was like, it was a mutual breakup. I was like, your editor dropped you, bitch. Right. Your editor was like, 100%. I have no time for this
anymore. She couldn't deliver it. No. I think that Carol's, like,
she's been trying to write that book for, like, 2 years.
Right. I think her focus was elsewhere, and that elsewhere happens to be a 29-year-old vegan chef.
Yeah.
No, not good.
I was really into Carol, like, how much she loves processed food. She's one of those, like, stupid skinny bitches that, like, now, loves processed
food.
Do you
think she eats?
Yeah, but I think she eats a lot of garbage.
You think she's just lucky?
Yeah, she's lucky and eats a lot of garbage.
That scene when it was Carol, Ramona, and Bethany at a restaurant, and Bethany's like, oh, no, I'm not going to eat. I'm going to eat later. Like, and she said, like, I'm going to eat dinner later a couple times. I was like, Jules, is that you?
But who said it, Bethany or Carol?
Yeah, Bethany.
No, like, I know this is the term skinny bitch. I don't want to body shame anybody. Like, ever teach their own. But I think that she probably is lucky, and I think that she is one of those women who, like, loves a box of mac and cheese. And
I think Bethany is hyper-focused on what she puts into her body. Yes. But that's also how she's made her millions. So, yeah. I guess it's working for her and she's alive. So, mazel. Carol, I mean, if Carol might just be one of those awful people that has a super high metabolism. Like me. I don't know. The Adam and Carol thing. Oh, you're giving me a look.
No, it wasn't. It was just, like, trying to put, I'm going to put Sonya and Bethany on the shelf right now and try to think about, like, all the other things. It was such a big episode.
So,
I mean, the other big thing, I mean, is going to take another half an hour to get into.
Yeah.
Well, do we want to dive right into
it? Yeah,
dive in. We don't have a structure.
To Dorinda and Ramona, because that was the other just absolute... That was another moment. I feel like we were watching another blonde housewife just lose total and absolute focus of who she is and what on earth she was doing. Why?
What are you talking about?
Ramona, why on earth, why stick up for Ray? Like, why? I understand she hates
very,
John.
It's
understand.
No, it has nothing to do with John and everything to do with Luann.
I mean, but
so she thought she was insane. Very clear by the direction of the conversation that Ramona was trying to steer, that when she saw Ray amble over to her in his drunken high mess, and he started talking about Luann, she thought she was going to get some pearls of gossip about Luann, which is why she was goading Ray into telling her about the trip that they took together.
Yeah, but why? I mean, I heard that as
question.
Well, but, like, they're
why?
They were in a good
He's,
place.
Like,
they're not in a good
place
anymore. And then if you noticed online, there was a little bit of an online Twitter battle initially with Ramona and Dorinda, and then they both ganged up against Luann because there's some sort of weird, it's like Ramona's weird relationship with Jules Aaron has been replaced by Ramona's weird relationship with Luann, and there are moments where she does put little digs at her, and Luann does the same, right back. Like, they have this weird passive-aggressive frenemy situation, and they're forced to film with each other, and they're not true friends, and so I think Ramona thought she was going to dig around and, like, hear a little bit more, just like she was with Sonya about who Luann was sleeping with.
Luann and Dorinda are in a good place. Based on Luann's birthday party. But I thought that you said that Ramona and Dorinda were teaming up against Luann on Twitter.
Online. They're doing this weird thing about...
On the Watch What Happens Live.
Luann said Dorinda are best friends. They're great friends.
Yeah, she's...
Right, and then Dorinda said after that on Twitter that Luann had been lying about Ramona being disinvited from Luann's surprise birthday party, and then Ramona and Dorinda were ganging up against Luann and saying that she lies about stuff, and Ramona was like, and I watched the, like, after show, I watched What Happens, and I couldn't believe it, and yeah, so there's, like, they have these little moments.
Oh, Ramona did have that Snapchat that she sent in to watch.
She had, like, seven Snapchats where she was, like, in her apartment, and she was like, here are the gifts I was going to give Luann, but I was uninvited to her birthday.
So into it. So wait, so let's go back. So I just... So I think the reason that whole mishigas started was because Ramona saw Ray as an opportunity to find out some shit about Luann. Then John comes over and...
Do you think that transitioned into a moment when she was like, here, I just want to defy John because I hate him so much?
Of course it did.
Because
so
that person needed to be...
Like, you're interrupting... Yeah, it went into, like, you're interrupting me finding out shit about Luann, and also I happen to dislike you. And John, for a moment, was correct in saying, here is someone that's obviously a drunken high mess. I know a lot about that. My name is John. So I need to remove him from this environment. And he was the host of his weird dry cleaning party. So he had every right. What then happened was John forgot that he was in fact John, and instead of following through and being a gentleman, now him immediately diving into like, if you defend Ray, you have to go as well to Ramona. I was like, okay, I guess it's still your party. Why was Ramona there to begin with if she wasn't invited? She showed up separately from Luann and Sonia, which was very strange.
Yeah, what happened?
They pregame together at Sushi Rocks, which no one who lives in Manhattan, including myself, has ever heard of. That place was like screaming bridge and tunnel.
But we're going to go.
Tomorrow. So there was definitely a moment where John was correct, and then he lost all of it when he put his physical body in Ramona's face, which was so unnecessary and so bitchy.
He put his hand in her face.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like right up there, which listeners, I'm demonstrating. But like right up there.
Can I ask though, like as a woman, you would be just like horribly offended if someone did that to you.
As a person, I would be horribly offended if someone did that to you, man or woman. If we want to play gender games, which I like play only when I'm on a date and the check comes. I 100% would have lost my shit. 100% do not want some.
But when Ramona is being
so abrasive.
So abrasive. And so out of line.
Well, here's what happened. Only one of those two people can go from 1 to 100. And John went from 1 to 100. And Ramona echoed. I mean, like, she went from 1 to 100, too. And then Dorinda. And I was like, it doesn't... To defend Ramona and to say you can't put your hands in front of a woman after the fact when you're getting in a cab, I was like, why can't you defend your friends over your boyfriend in front of your boyfriend? Yeah. What are you afraid of? Why can't you say that's not okay in the moment? Why do you always wait until 5 to 7 minutes later and then be like, that wasn't okay? I lose respect for Dorinda when that happens. Mm-hmm. If you're saying John's a great guy and I'm going to stay with him and you have to deal with it, then you also have to defend your friends. You can't constantly be silent when your boyfriend misbehaves because it's embarrassing. And it genuinely reflects poorly on her.
She never calls him out in front of anybody.
She never calls him out in front of anybody else. She waits until the end and it becomes much less powerful.
She says, I'm done, you're disgusting, and she leaves.
Right, and then she leaves and then she wonders why people don't respect their relationship, and it's because she doesn't, first off, respect her friends.
They don't see... Well, they also don't see her sticking up for herself.
Of course!
Like, against
him. And she's not defending them.
No.
I thought it was crazy. I do want to see Ray on every single episode from now on. I couldn't believe he was heterosexual.
He was a terror.
He's definitely not.
He's not heterosexual. Also...
He's called everybody bitch, like 100 times.
I know. Talk about, like, a lack of social space. Ray going in Sonia's face and in Ramona's face because he was like this like weird drunken high giraffe. So like his neck craning in awkward moments, I loved it.
He was a close talker and it was...
He was a close talker. He didn't know how words happen. I mean, no. I think he was just thrilled that something was coming out of his mouth that wasn't vomit.
The only thing I liked about Ray's appearance was that I felt like it threw production because the way Luann left, like that was real. Like the way that they showed like a fuzzy like B-roll of the room and it was just all
these
girls.
You knew they were trying to get it on camera and she was just...
Oh yeah, they were like digging through shit. I'm sure they were thrilled that they had the audio.
What did she say when she got in the cab? Most disgusting group of people I've ever seen.
I was so into it.
And then,
oh my god.
And then the way...
Not since court.
Disgusting group of people. She didn't say disgusting person. She said disgusting group of people.
And the way the camera was on like Dorinda, then Ramona, and then John outside. Like you could see Ray kept trying to be a part of it. And there was someone who was like... arm and hand were like on him because like production was clearly trying to be like get out.
That was cool.
Trash.
And then Ramona being like, you're not with me when they were outside, when it's like, well, you did choose an earlier lane five minutes ago.
She got John riled up like she wanted, and then she got outside and was like, okay, I need to extricate myself from this person.
So Seth, I want to ask you, because you had mentioned coming into this earlier in the conversation, you said you usually are on Ramona's side, but this week, what do you think? Like, do you think she's going to bounce back for this? Or what do you think her motives for sort of behaving this way were?
Well, I
do
think
that... Do you
guys think
she behaved that badly? Sorry to interject, but...
I really do.
Because she raised her voice to Dorinda?
No, because
too noisy?
I thought it was because of John, because it was a total lack of respect for him and his party. She was defending someone she didn't have a relationship
with.
When John is the host, and it's also her friend.
I don't care if you're Ramona and you want to get dirt from this, like, high motherfucker about your friend.
Yeah.
But when the host of a party comes up and says, with security, and says, this guy's leaving because... Ramona obviously knew he was drunk and just flying high. So when that if that person needs to be ejected,
and
you gotta go with
that.
And
she wasn't allegedly invited, which is like the number one. I mean, she should have been excused.
Ramona seems so incensed that John was asking this person to leave when it should have been like, I tried to get my fun out of it. This guy clearly has to go because he's a mess. But she was like, he's not leaving. He's not leaving. And I was like, Ramona, what are you doing? Like, I understand they have a job to stir up drama, but that was just, and I know they were at a dry cleaning party, so like, there's not too much, like, you know, rules of engagement there, but she should have, I feel like she should have just let the guy go rather than defend him until she was ready to stop defending him. Like, she got what she wanted. It was just so tacky, and it made me think, the way she talks about Sonia and Sonia's problems with drinking, I know this seems to be addressed next week, like, to me it seems like Ramona might have a bit of a problem, and she's deflecting.
Well, I feel like they're both...
Like, Sonia was fine at that party. Emma, was I wrong?
It's like, I think they're both deflecting off of each other. I think that Sonia is really trying and being very serious about being as sober as possible this season, which you can tell in her scenes. I really think she is. And Ramona's continuing to be Ramona, and Ramona switches from Ramona to Romina, and there's some weird shit that's happened with Ramona and Sonia's friendship, and so Ramona's taking moments to put digs at Sonia that she doesn't have to.
It's Ramona and everybody's friendship. Like, Ramona with everybody has a weird, there's always some sort of weird,
Ramona's not a good girlfriend.
She and Bethany are in a good place right now. Like, they're friends.
Yeah.
They're friends right now.
Because they're both
Dorinda and John.
New beginning. Yeah. Right.
Okay, that's true.
And they both also see, how horrific John is. And John came for Bethany's company, and she put him in his place. And now she's doing it with Sonia, and who knows who will be next.
So
I think Jules will be next.
Will be the next person.
Ramona?
Like,
she's
going to
find some bone to pick
with her? I think
Jules
will be the next person that Bethany puts her eyes on. I don't think...
Didn't she already kind of try, though?
That they're going to be friends, you think?
No. I think that something's going to happen with Jules and Bethany, and it's going to turn a little bit. I do think.
I always kind of thought that Jules and Bethany were going to become like bosom buddies. Like, I thought Bethany was going to try to reel her in.
No, I think Jules is not. I think Jules is playing a facade of something. I don't understand how someone who's old money has an interview with a potential nanny that she met through her Uber driver, and then
asked that woman,
can you stand in line at sample sales? I mean, if you have old, quote-unquote, old money, or what I would refer to as real money, which is not to say that it needs to be old or new, just that it does currently exist in our universe.
Which they have a lot of it.
No, I don't think they do. I think that they live in an apartment that they don't buy, that they rent. I think the reason their apartment is totally white is because they can't paint the walls. I think that they live above Jules' husband's business for a reason, because the space was available. I think it's a super unfurnished
space. I need to also qualify that I'm basing my assumptions off of celebritynetworth.com, which is where we...
which we've spoken about, which does not...
Her husband... according to that site, her husband has... quite a bit of money.
How much?
35 million.
Guys, no. Never. Definitely not. And
I mean, that real estate in the Hamptons was actually...
My homework for next week is going to try to pull the real estate records for the sale of the Hamptons house.
Please do. Oh my God,
and the Flatiron apartment. And I'm going to read them out loud, and you guys are going to owe me a bottle of something better than this.
Fair.
Because it's not good. And I just was so annoyed. Again, I've spoken a little bit about my past life, where I was a nanny for a couple celebrity families. I know that you do not, if you have real money, you don't go through Uber.
They're like services.
You go through an agency where the people that walk in the door for the interview are vetted, have had security.
Like, you check the box for them to speak Spanish before they even get in the door.
Where you can literally, because this has happened to me, someone can give you an offer for a job 20 minutes after you leave and it be totally appropriate because you've already been security checked. Have had all the references checked, have had the interviews with staffing, like, have gone through every single step so that they feel comfortable. Not this woman who, like, doesn't really speak English, who they'd never met before, who does blowouts, which I don't believe based on her hair, who's okay standing up outside in line, which is not appropriate for a nanny. That's where you get
That's
an assistant.
That to me was very TV.
I do think it was very TV, but I just think it was, like, poorly done. And
Jules is new, though.
It's not that she's new, it's that she's dumb. I mean, like, let's call a spade a spade.
She
was growing on me, and then she opens her mouth, and I'm like, ugh.
I liked her a lot after she was really forthcoming about her eating disorder.
Right, but and it's also, not, we're between meals right now.
And,
so.
And also, I liked when one of them told her, like, Carol or someone, like, told her she should write a book, and she was like, no, me, I'm not good with words, or something. Like, I feel like she's
yeah, she has
self-aware
moments.
Of her
I don't
thing.
Think she's self-aware of everything. I think she's self-aware of what she wants to be self-aware about.
Well, I mean, that could be made, that argument could be made about everybody in the house.
Sure,
right,
but
guys.
I just
that's
think she's not... Not Sonia,
but...
I just wasn't...
No, but I think Sonia is self-aware about certain things. I think that it's a lot of the real life stuff that she's... Like, I think that she does have a great sense of humor and can be really self-deprecating. It's just when it comes to, like, money and, like, her future, she
literally,
seems... And her like career.
Living. Yeah. Literally, like, just, like, living and surviving.
So what do you think is going to happen with... Or do you think we're ever going to find out what happened with Luann and Ramona? Just circling back to that for
yes.
a second.
Yes.
Not that we're going to find out where the fissure happened, but do you think we're going to find out... what's happening next? I mean, I don't think we're going to get to the root of the issue of where their relationship, how it became so tenuous, but I wonder what's going to happen next.
I don't...
I mean, do you think they're all going to inevitably gang up on Sonia, or do you think that Ramona will come to her senses and... Or do you think that one of the reasons that Ramona and Luann are so awkward in their friendship right now is because Luann is fake living with Sonia? Do you think that plays
They're not fake living
too?
Together anymore, are they? Because Sonia's, I mean, Luann's engaged now.
Yeah, no. As the season is airing, like, Luann stays over, like, probably one night a week or whenever the film crew stops by. Like, tapes them whenever the DVD stops
wanna,
by.
That apartment, though.
Is a mess.
It's horrible.
And that, how did Sonia not know what a
like,
B&B is?
It looks
and
like
also
a
bidet, which she was mispronouncing.
A B-day.
A B-day.
Welcome to the B-day. It's B.
How
it's
do you
B-day.
Not know a B&B? And guys, listeners, we're watching the scene with Carol and Adam. I don't know. The
and
cat
the
was okay.
Baby.
Yeah.
Baby, come here, your brother.
And the poinsettias. I don't know. I just want it
that
to be over
really
now.
Cute.
It's never going to be over because now they're going into business.
When I was watching this, I was like... I've never been more bored in my life. And I was like, poor Carol. Like, not poor Carol because I don't like
food
her.
That looked good,
fine, but I don't want to see someone cooking food and them talking about this cookbook
oh my
and
God,
this dumb
I
cat. And I love cats.
Food.
I love cats. But I was just like, Carol's so bored.
I think Carol's
she's
really,
nothing without Luann.
I think she's the most conscious of how she's coming across on New York. And I think that makes
Carol?
Her the most boring because she shows
so
little. She doesn't show enough of
yeah,
the stuff.
Yeah, she's super private.
Yes. Well, yeah,
conscious.
Then it's hard to be on... television if you want to be
yeah,
private.
It's hard to be, well, it's not hard to be on television, it's hard to be on reality.
Right,
TV.
Yes, that's, yes.
It's not.
If you're like, I don't really have a reality, it's fine.
It just
I
feels
mean,
like she doesn't want to show any of the real stuff, probably. Like, she's not showing
and
any of the...
also, Adam's not interesting enough to focus on so heavily. Like, what else? Like,
doesn't.
Does Carol have parents? I didn't read her book. Like, I'm getting to it. Like, doesn't she have, like, I don't know, is there someone else?
She's a princess through marriage, right?
She's
but then how is she connected
marriage.
To the Kennedys?
Because she married a Radziwill, which is Lee Radziwill, Jackie O's sister, who's still alive.
Right. But
so
still fucking snooze.
And then
like,
she happened to have been, because she married Anthony Radziwill, her husband, I want to say that's
he
his
was,
name.
He was very,
he
was like
JFK's
best friend with JJ.
And
JJ.
Also his cousin, right.
Right.
And they were like legit
it's
BFFs.
John.
It's John.
That was the see, and that is why I love Sonia. Because
I mean,
she
nobody calls him John Johnson.
That's why I
also,
hate Sonia, because she defended it after this woman whose widow was
yeah,
the
no
cousin
shit.
Of and best friend of JFK. And Sonia's like, well, no, you're wrong. It's like, no, that's not your life.
But
this
also, okay.
Someone else's life.
Okay, but also, to play devil's advocate here, like, I think things, moments like that where people just, like, dismiss and shut down things like, how close was Carol really with John? And
really
and
close.
also, let me finish. And also, like, isn't it possible in a world when John was like a bachelor or a young person?
No.
And can I finish?
No.
That Sonia and Sonia was at a party with him. That like that was a thing, and that she's just holding on to that moment.
No.
I think that that's.
Here's what I think happened. They went to a party together. She saw him or whatever, and at one point was like, "Hi, how are you? I'm Sonia. Oh, hi, I'm whatever."
Yeah, that's fine.
And then they called it a day, and Sonia in her head. Calls him John because she's thinking about the press coverage of him when she was younger and he was younger and how the press called him John. So she assumed in her head that contemporaries of his and close friends of his called him John. And Carol is saying no one that knew him ever called him that. He was John.
I think it's I don't know. I think that, like,
no, Carol... I think that's exactly what's wrong with Sonia, is that she tries to own other people's
Sarah's argument
lives.
Is a little more factual, so... No,
I'm not...
Okay!
But I'm not saying it to be argumentative or anything. I just think that, like,
that's... Is it possible that Sonia is being truthful? And I'm saying no.
I'm not saying that she was close friends with him. I'm just saying that, like... Carol's like that. I don't know. I don't think her argument.
You think that Carol is speaking on behalf of a dead man, and there's no way to know.
And I also think that, like, that was a long time ago too. So, like, Carol's
is that long ago?
Is that Carol speaking to, like, John John died in, like, 1992 or 3 or 4?
No, like 15 years, 20 years ago.
That's a long time ago, Sarah.
I know, but
like,
I'm
so, like, that's
Prince of America.
Wait, let me just finish. I wouldn't go that far either. He was really young, and, like, his parents weren't, like...
He was so attractive. So, oh, my God.
You were,
God.
Like, in third grade when he died.
Whatever, yeah. I was at my country club.
So, like, that's, like, that is the thing. It's, like, I feel like it was 20 years ago. So, like, if that's Carol claiming him and that's how she's defending, it's, like, I totally hear you. That Sonya probably pulling this shit out of her ass and was probably at a party once or twice with him and, like, is pulling stuff that is not true. I just need, like, Carol being, like, no one called him. Then it's, like, all right, Carol, but, like, how close
were
you?
Also,
you were married for, like, how many years? And then he died.
Oh, are you kidding?
I mean, dead ass serious.
Carolyn Bessette.
She's still Trump. She's still Trump, Sonya.
I'm
still Trump,
Sonya. Let her own. She is so boring right now. Let her own that this really
her
was
something.
Her life.
I just want her to have something more in her real life than, like, talking about her
She
ex-husband.
Does, which is why she's so fucking boring. That was one moment in the reunion.
Guys, given how eventful this episode was, I can't believe we're giving this much time to Carol Ravel and John John. Guys, we're going to be talking about Luann squirting. Luann squirts.
Yes, okay. Take us there.
We're watching it happen when Ramona totally blows up Luann's spot with her squirting vagina. I mean,
I want to watch, like...
But guys, if there was anybody else, if there was any housewife on this show, or maybe any housewife ever that squirts, it's Luann. Like, come on, who else would it be?
I am so grossed out.
I'm not really grossed out.
Let's just also be clear that two people in this room know nothing about that sort of thing, or even really the anatomy of that thing. So, is that a thing that happens? I don't know.
It's not something that you talk about. My God.
I was always told that if in a porno a girl squirts, that's
Can
not
Can we just take a moment to say, even though Luann's voice has somehow gotten lower,
so
she
deep.
Looks good.
She's great.
She looks so good on Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah,
so good.
She looks really
she
good.
Nailing it.
She looked phenomenal.
Besides the curly haired fringe look, but she looks great.
Yeah,
she looks
she's
great.
Doing like a little bit of a it's overly feathered,
yeah.
Is what I would say her hair currently is. And friggin' Ramona looks great. And
Ramona
Sonya's
looks half
there.
She can't, she can only move like, I would say like a third of her face. Which is funny when she gets really angry because her mouth can't move as fast as she wants to talk.
Yeah, her forehead.
Which I think is really funny.
So
the hair. Ooh, God.
Luann didn't seem as mad as maybe I would have been if someone revealed something super personal about my sex life.
Well, I think that
because
she...
It makes her interesting.
But then on Watch What Happens Live, she was like, that was so crass, like, that was so rude, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, because
blah.
Of course, she's got to backtrack.
Of course.
Yeah,
well,
she's
I'm asking.
She's got to bring up that... This is what I mean. Like, the facade has broken down. Like, the facade has crumbled. It's like, there are, like, just chips here and there on Luann's facade. And I think she realizes it in retrospect, so she has to go back and try to, like, just shove some of those pieces back on the wall. She's spackling left and right, but it's crumbling. She's done. Like, she's a skank. It's great. I love it.
I mean, I love that about Luann, but I was like, oh, she didn't seem as offended. Like, if someone said that about, like, anybody else.
It's also, it's like, look at your audience. It's not like she's at some high society.
She's at Sushi Rocks.
Ramona and Sonia.
And Bob the Drag Queen or whoever that was. He's like, they trashed their table.
Guys, I mean, I just think this week was one in a million. I mean, the sirens in the background are really announcing what's to come in New York.
It's about to get serious.
It is about to get serious. Someone's going to get killed.
It's already serious. It's actually already serious. I just hope it stays
I can't wait. I think this is like... It's
what's
going to
happen next week,
so
Sarah?
Happy.
They go to the Berkshires, right?
They go to the Berkshires and don't invite Sonia because she can't be around alcohol, except now they know she has a Prosecco line coming out. I mean, I'm sure it was just to pacify Bethany. I'm sure Bethany was like, I don't want to sleep in the same space that...
And I wonder if Bethany will say that or if that's was like a behind the scenes.
I don't know if it's going to be behind the scenes or not. I don't know. I think it's definitely obvious one way or the other.
Do you think that Bethany and Sonya, like, where do you think they stand today? like going into the reunion.
I don't think they talk. I don't know if they're cordial or not. I don't think they talk. I'm more curious, to be honest, about where Ramona and Sonia stand, which I would assume is not in a good place, and then where Luann fits in all of this. I mean, it's really giving me everything because there's so many different relationship dynamics that are totally changing and opening up, and it's like you gotta really focus. I mean, you really gotta focus. There's a whole lot happening, and like Bravo TV, I am so appreciative. Like, thank you for delivering, especially because Dallas right now is just making
Sarah, no, I'm not ready to go there.
Yeah, I think we should just give a little overview and just saying, ladies, like, make good choices with your husbands and loved ones and maybe also your friends. And Brandy and Brian, the gingies, the redheads, like, isn't...
Seth, I felt like you had an interesting observation about this, if you don't mind me putting you on.
Sure, go ahead.
But no, you were saying that scene with Brandy...
You're the first one out of the entire cast of Real Housewives of Dallas to have an interesting observation, so...
Brandy and Brian's conversation where he was... Where she was sort of like, what did I do? Or, you know, and he shuts down. I felt like you had an observation about, like, the process of it being on the show.
All right.
And, like, what he wasn't saying. When they were at dinner and...
I have some thoughts.
What he wasn't willing to say when he was... She was like, what did I do to make you mad?
What was your observation?
Well, I think that it was clear that he was... I think it's what I said. I mean, we talked a lot about this last night, but it was clear that he was really upset about the fact that their kind of dirty laundry had been...
being played out.
Had been dragged into TV. And she really just needed an answer from him about why he was so upset, but he couldn't give it because he doesn't want to play into this whole thing.
Right, so he was upset that she was talking to him about their intimate relationship. Well, and
she had called him out on the week before on television when he didn't come to the grandpa.
She never did call him out. She only did it in her interview.
Well, right, that's what I mean. I mean, she called him out, like, on the show.
Right, which he might not have known about.
But he kept trying to drag... She kept trying to drag him into, like, the drama of the show, and he was just like, I'm not going to have any of this. So he keeps trying to drag her into the drama.
I don't think he's trying
to... I don't think...
No, because she got mad at him, right?
Right, but I...
Not in real life, though. She didn't act on it.
She does not feel comfortable communicating to her husband about moments in which he disappoints her, mm-hmm. or in which she has feelings that aren't super positive. So that's where her relationship with Stephanie comes in, and Stephanie's asides about, like, well, you know, this is a really unhealthy marriage that she's in. Now, the issue that I think that he had with her was that he thought that they were going to go on a little night on the town and have some romantic time, and I'm sure that's why he was okay being on camera. What ended up happening was she did trick him a little bit, in the auspices of being on reality TV. I think she did trick him a little by not warning him in any way that they were going to talk about her relationship, which is also super real because she probably isn't comfortable talking about it with him at all, which is why they've never spoken about it. Mm-hmm. And so she's using her ability to be on camera in order to say these things and was really shocked that he wouldn't comply. He seems to be the least introspective person a girl could ever meet in junior high and later marry. I mean,
maybe he is, though, but sometimes the men
on... I think he's a real mess of a guy. Sometimes he's nervous about being on reality TV, he is, and I think he's also a super shitty husband.
He's the opposite end of the spectrum from, like, the Johns and...
The Peters.
And what is Carrie's husband's name?
Oh, I don't know. The gay one.
Gay guy. Gay doctor. Gay sweet.
Who, like,
they come on TV and they revert to, like, too much touching and too much kissing and always talking about wanting to fuck their wives and stuff, and which I think is repulsive. Every time John tries to kiss Dorinda on camera, she's like, get away from me.
Yeah, she also doesn't like PDA. Yeah.
So they go to that end of the spectrum. Brian goes to the total other end where he's just like, he's doing it for his wife in a sense. Like, he's letting
her do it. Which is what Kelsey Grammer did for Camille.
No. Kelsey Grammer was like, you should do this show.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. No, he's like doing it.
Allegedly, Kelsey was pushing Camille to do the show. She initially turned it down and he was like, no, you should do it. You should have your own voice in the reasoning.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think Brian's doing the show for her. Because they're having an unhappy marriage. Yeah. Like, it's to deflect from the same way that Kelsey's giving her an escape.
He's giving her an escape.
And I think he doesn't want to be held accountable for his actions. He wants her to be busy and happy and be like, happy wife, come home and be happy.
So then
when he gets dragged into it like he did,
he's like, I already gave you something.
He's like, are you serious? And she's like, yeah, bitch, I'm serious.
That's a new observation I just had. But I think it is that Kelsey wanted Camille to do the show because he wanted to have her to have a distraction so she wouldn't pick up on the signs of their marriage falling apart and his affair. I don't know if Brian's having an affair, but he's certainly not being.
No one would have.
He's
sex
so
with him.
Sick.
You know what? You would be have surprised.
Sex with him. Also, he has.
It's shocking who women, the men that women have sex with.
Well, you're a woman.
I mean, like, look at John. Look at John. Look at Ray. Look at Ray. Lynn fucks Ray, guys. Oh my God.
I can't imagine ever having sex with Ray, but I've never seen him sober, so maybe it's better because he's so tall.
Also, he's drinking a martini. Also, he's drinking a martini glass out of a little plastic cup with 2 hours.
I mean, that's shocking to me.
I can't believe that Dorinda would have sex with John, except that she met him while she was mourning, and he was probably like, "How are you?" And she's like, "Oh my God, you're so supportive." I mean, I don't.
And she can and he can clean anything. I mean, God, dry cleaning is expensive.
Just to do one more little sweep, which is how I prefer to think of Dallas. We just like sweep over them. That whole weird scene with Tiffany, Leanne, and Marie. Who, by the way, Marie was a friend of, and now all of a sudden Marie's getting 50% of the camera time, which I'm actually not against.
I'm not against either.
It's because of the couture. She's in every scene, she's in couture,
that's
and I'm into
couture,
it.
Couture, sweetie. That is.
Girl for Dallas, that's couture.
No,
that fascinator?
Price.
Yes, give me that fascinator.
I'm not against it. I like that she's so old, but she's had so much plastic surgery that I like can't put a number.
She just needs a little bit of she needs a little bit of color on her face.
I'm
to
really
fix
into
that.
Marie. But I also thought that whole thing was bullshit, and I was so pissed that Tiffany was getting away with it. First off, I thought the two culprits in that were Tiffany and Leanne. Number one, Leanne, obviously, if there was anyone that should be getting in trouble, it's Leanne for her reckless behavior at that, like, fake charity cocktail party where she lost her shit.
Yeah.
So trying to, the name of the game is deflecting. Deflecting that on anybody else, I thought was crazy. Number two, Tiffany printing out text messages.
I love a printed out text. It's so Atlanta Housewives.
It's so Atlanta, but it's also super easy to manipulate. So you can like scroll up or whatever and be like, copy this.
Yeah.
Copy this. Like, I think Leanne legitimately, here's what I think happened. Tiffany goes, "You won't believe what Marie has said about you." She just copies random things that Marie has said, probably like that are far better than the shit that Tiffany said, and just prints that and goes, "Here you go." And because Leanne is a fucking idiot, looks at them and then just immediately starts to bluster and get angry and angry and like, "We have to confront her." And that's exactly what happened. And then Tiffany just gets to sit there and be like, "Praise Jesus."
What I love though about the whole thing is if you're Marie in that situation, you're
in
like,
Marie's face, she was like, "What?"
But you know why she doesn't? You know why she doesn't give a shit? Because I think that she's like legit money, and those two girls.
I think she has enough.
Those two
money.
Girls live in one story homes, so
right.
Marie's just like, "This
and
is
Tiffany's
cute."
Is rented. Right.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, "This is cute," but like, I'm real. I think we were saying that. I think we were like, "Why isn't Marie an actual house? Like, why isn't she in the cast?" And I think it's because I think Andy was courting her this season and was like, "You don't have to give too much time. Just
this is his theory.
Just be into it and see what you think."
No.
Because
none
why
of
would
women,
she?
No.
Why would Marie not be a full time housewife?
I think that
the
she
same
was
way
Brene be...
didn't become one on Potomac.
I think that they didn't.
They usually they film with how many women, and then
because Marie of all the women we've seen in the show, she is giving us the most. She is definite Dallas. Social scene. Like, she's real. She is absolutely real in the social scene.
I mean, I'm most into
Stephanie.
So is Stephanie.
I love Stephanie. So is Stephanie.
I like, actually love Stephanie and Brandy because I think that their friendship is real and that they both have money. Stephanie has, like, a lot of money.
Brandy doesn't have so much money, but her husband is after.
They do, like, they do okay. Like, but they're not...
Do Carrie and the gay have husbands?
The less money I think they have. When she's talking about like their needs for Switzerland, and then she's like, you know, and he's like, "We need to get our marketing
game. We gotta work more together."
I wasn't into her taking those. I wasn't into her model leak photos.
And then he's like, "We're not gonna Photoshop them." And I'm like, "What are you selling?" Because what has she actually gotten done as a cosmetic procedure? She gives herself Botox, so mazel to her. But
she's
what
definitely
else?
Had her boobs
she's definitely had her boobs done. But what? So are you? What are you taking photos to do? Wouldn't you?
Yeah,
wouldn't be better if
you want
to
show
photos
your
of
work.
A patient? Because is he now trying to be a photographer? I mean, like, is he learning?
I don't know. Was there a reason that
really we should pull up website right now and see if she's on it? Because I bet she's not.
I mean, the amount of time, and that would be 20 seconds of my life, I'll never get back to Google Real Housewives of Dallas gay plastic surgeon. That's the only answer that would pop up. And guys, on that note, we've hit an hour.
Nice.
Of nonstop gossip.
I just want to pose one question to you guys and also to our listeners while we wrap up here, which is, you know, Bethany said on her Watch What Happens Live in the beginning of New York season that they, you know, that they're all pros and they're all real friends and that, like, they all know how to leave it, you know, at the at home after it's done. Uh-huh. And that they all went to dinner last year after the reunion, and they'll do the same thing this year. So I guess that's my question is, do you really think that any of this stuff will stick hard or long enough that, like, by the end of the reunion there's going to be, like, bad blood? Or do you think they're all going to be able to go to dinner like they did last year? Do you think that Bethany and Sonia will be able to go to dinner together? Do you think Luann and Carol will be able to go to dinner together?
I think they will all be able to go to dinner together with Bethany and Sonia at opposite ends of the table. Yeah. I think that...
Because I feel like that was a legit slight. That was a big... I think that it caused a real
thing. Yeah, I think
that
was a legit slight because when business comes into it... It's genuinely, what does she have left? Like, her... She's never going to get married again. I don't know if she'll ever be in a happy relationship. She doesn't have a lot of friends. She has her business and she has her show.
Stop.
Who, Bethany?
Yeah, Bethany.
Oh, I thought you were talking about...
Oh, but Bethany's pregnant and dating Garrick Sunstreet.
Bethany is not pregnant.
And she's not dating
Garrick. She had a one-night stand on the show. She talked about it.
And she also...
That doesn't necessarily make a baby.
And she hasn't confirmed that she's in a relationship with Eric Stone.
I know. I'm being a hot goss. Sorry.
Damien's losing his shit.
And on that note, good night.
Guys, let's play out our fun theme song. And while we do, it was such a pleasure to have you, Seth. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Seth Plattner.
We really appreciated it. Listeners, this is one of our longest podcasts to date, which is only to say thanks to Bravo for really delivering for us, to Ramona for giving us whatever it is that we drank.
And to John, who I was almost on his side.
To John. Guys, let's do a real cheers.
Yes.
Yay. Bye, guys. Have a good week.
Bye.